Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Eagles Saints is featured in Sunday's Fox Super 6 contest, where players have won over $3 million. Download the free Fox Super 6 app and make your picks before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of 6 NFL games. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Call and give us your winner and final score for Eagles Saints.
God, I don't know what I'm going to see. I'm not going to bet that game because I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't even know what Philadelphia's offense is going to look like. I would say Saints will win by 2 touchdowns. That feels like 34-21. I have no idea. I can't bet that game because I have no idea what I'm getting. By the way, the best bet of the week I can't put in Blazing 5. The best bet of the week is Carolina over Denver, but I got it at 1.5. It's now 3.5, so I wouldn't bet that game now. But when I bet it Monday, Carolina only gave up 1.5. I love that. That was my favorite. A lot of times, and I've told you this off the air, a lot of times I can't make my Blazing 5 pick my favorite bet because the best bet comes off the board Sunday, Monday morning, and it gets bet up by the wise guys. So that Carolina was the best bet on the board, and now it's all 3.5 and nonsense. Greg Jennings, a decade in the NFL. He called the Rams-Cardinals game last weekend. Be calling Washington 49ers on Sunday. He joins us now live, Fox Sports NFL analyst. So Favre said yesterday Aaron Rodgers could be the best player ever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to put you on the spot here because you're capable of handling this because you played with Favre and you played with Rodgers. You played and you practiced with both. And Favre went on and he's like, I think Aaron's the best player ever. Tom's the most productive. Give me something with Favre that he did that you like more than Aaron and something with Aaron that as a receiver you like more than Favre. Give me something with both.
Okay, so it's really easy for me. And people ask me this question all the time, Greg, who would you want to be your quarterback? And for me, I kind of twisted it a little bit on you, Colin. And this is why when you get Brett Favre on the football field, he's just going to give his players a chance. And he's going to put the ball up there because he's more of a gunslinger. He's more of a risk taker. Doesn't mean he's not accurate. Doesn't mean he doesn't throw a great ball. He does all of those things, but he's just going to give you a chance to make a play and allow your skill set to show forth. Aaron is so precise with where he delivers the ball. He kind of eliminates the receiver's opportunity to make a play. What I mean, go up and get balls. Like, yes, he puts balls in position, back shoulder, you twist and you contort your body, all of those things. But the ball is pretty much pinpoint placement. That's the one thing that I loved about Brett. You had to make a play. And he was going to come to you in the most craziest situations when he knew he shouldn't. He was going to be that guy to do it. That's really not Aaron's deal.
Are you surprised that Favre now, there's a little bromance here? Because I said earlier, if I would have been Favre, and here I'm a Southern guy, and all of a sudden here comes California cool Aaron, you know, a little snarky, and he's throwing, and he's talented, so Brett can see how talented he is. And I think, oh, I can see that not being a great relationship. Are you surprised a little? They're as close as they are, at least publicly now.
I'm not surprised. I think once you remove yourself from a day-to-day situation with anybody, you have a different perspective. You still have those relationship ties. You still have those experiences, but you look at them different. You assess them differently. And I think right now where Brett Favre is in his life and his career and what he's doing with his life after football and where Aaron Rodgers is in his career, he can relate to so much of what he experienced, what he was feeling when Aaron Rodgers jumped on the scene. And so you tend to gravitate to what you have a relationship with or experiences with. And so that's why I think you kind of hear this in agreements or in harmony, so to speak, when it comes to Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. They're all buddy-buddy now. And I think it's great. It's what we all really want. We want to be friends, but we want to critically critique when the time presents itself.
So you were there for the Favre-Aaron Rodgers transition in Philadelphia. Wentz to Jalen Hurts, everybody will say the nice thing publicly, but it is a little odd in the locker room, no?
It is. In this situation, it's definitely a little odd. And I think the way Jalen Hurts has been handling it has been phenomenal. And I can say the same with Carson Wentz as far as how he's handled Jalen Hurts and all the chatter. But when you're in the locker room and you just want to win, even though they love I truly believe these guys like and they love Carson Wentz, but they like and they love what they're seeing in Jalen Hurts. Personalities, people gravitate to personalities. People gravitate to winners. Jalen Hurts is a winner. He hasn't proven anything in this league. I get that. But you want to give him a chance because guys will follow his type of leadership. He's quiet, calm, collected. You need a change of pace. It doesn't mean you don't have access to Carson Wentz. This is the beauty of having a roster. The quarterback position is one of those positions where we think, oh, you can only play one. Yes, you want to develop some type of chemistry and consistency. But when you have a guy who struggled, but you still can utilize his skill set, you can pick and choose, just like Sean Payton has done, when you insert one or the other.
By the way, so bye weeks are different. So some teams take a bye week and they're like, listen, we're not healthy. I'm going to give guys some days off. And then there have probably been times, Greg, that you had a bye week and a team's just not right. You got to tweak something. And it's a really important 4 or 5 days of extra practice. I think Tampa falls into that, where it's like, okay, the talent's here. We're just not right. Go back to your career. How do you think Tampa used this bye week? What did they spend time on?
Well, they're looking at everything that worked and all that did not work. And they want to lean towards what works, what was seamless, what allowed us to execute at a high level where everyone was involved and everyone enjoyed it. And we saw progression. That's what they're going to lean to. Excuse me, that's Tom Brady at my door right now. I'm going to have to answer that when I get done. But no, this is what you do during the bye week. And I think we're going to see, when you look at their schedule, their remaining schedule, they're excited because they have very winnable games. They're not just pushovers, but they're very winnable games that they can continue to build and stack the success that they need entering into the playoffs.
You know, it's funny about how matchups work. In the NFC West, the Niners just match up really well with the Rams. Their defensive personnel, they just match up. Now, the Rams match up really well with Arizona. So I didn't have a punitive opinion anti-Rams after they lost to the Niners twice. And I'm not going to beat up on Arizona because I think the Rams, Aaron Donald's a matchup problem. Jalen Ramsey can go to D-hop and shut things down a little. I want to talk about, because you did this game last week, Kyler Murray. Young quarterbacks come into the league. They hit a wall. Most of the great ones break through it. Kyler feels like, to me, Greg, he's struggling a little bit right now. Do you see that? Is it injuries? What do your eyes tell you with Kyler right now?
So, two things. It's more than just Kyler. In my opinion, it is Kyler. When you say Kyler Murray, you're saying Cliff Kingsbury as well, because the adjustments haven't been there. The game that I watched them and the games that I've seen, they haven't made the proper adjustments. Now, that's not solely on your quarterback. However, Kyler Murray has to understand players make plays in this league. And just because you can throw the ball with elite ability and you have the opportunity to run the ball with elite ability doesn't mean you need to just do one. Be special. Be what makes you different. And when you're one-on-one, even if you have a defender in your face, it's 9 times out of 10. I remember when Brett Favre told me this. He said, Greg, 80% of you or 70% of you is better than 100% of the next guy. And that's no knock on the next. Well, it is a knock on the next guy a little bit, but it's just credit to the individual. Kyler Murray is a talented individual. He has to embrace the fact that he has legs and he has shifty ability and a quickness that is unmatched.
Yep.
Use it,
yep.
Lean into it, and stop trying to just be a pocket passer. That is not going to cut it for his a guy his size, his height, who has all these extra skill sets and tools. Use them all.
Yeah, by the way, Baltimore's going back to using Lamar more. I think that there were weeks when Baltimore wasn't using Lamar's athletic ability and they were trying to develop him into something. It's like, no, you can do that, but there are certain players that have certain skills. To your point, use it. Now let's talk about the Rams. You had their game last week. And Goff gets a lot of heat. I always feel with the Rams, when Goff is comfortable, they win. When he's uncomfortable, they don't. I think they're one of the easiest teams for me to figure out. Your thoughts about Goff, is this what he is, Greg? Like, what we seeing, does it go beyond this, or is this sort of just what he is?
You know, I think we've seen the ceiling for Jared Goff. But we don't really know the floor. We don't know how bad it can get. And that's a little scary. What you said is spot on. When he's comfortable, great. Uncomfortable, not great. And that's problematic at that position because he's a quarterback that plays with rhythm,
yes,
timing. If he gets ahead of the down, he's great. If he gets into rhythm, you get him moving out of the pocket, he's great. But he's a guy that you can scheme up too easily because he makes decisions already premeditated. And what I mean by that is when he's scanning, it doesn't mean that he doesn't go through his progressions, but once he goes 1, 2, 3, he just checks it down. He doesn't really evaluate the situation before letting that ball go. And that's where he makes a lot of his mistakes. And if you look at teams that have fast flowing linebackers and safeties that can cover as well in the secondary, he struggles with teams like that. And the key is they got to have speed.
Yeah. Boy, what a good breakdown. Greg Jennings, by the way, Greg is a world-class bodybuilder. This true story. You are. You can admit it. You do very well in your competitions. I asked you, when's the last time you had a meal and just didn't give a rip? Mine was this morning for breakfast. When is the last time you just said, I don't even care, deep dish pizza, here I go? Last time.
It has really been over a year where that's taking place. It's simply because your mindset is just so locked in on reshaping your body and staying locked in and dialed into your nutrition. You don't want to ever go too far off the beaten path. But after shows, I mean, even after a competition, I'm a sushi guy. Wow. That's kind of my go-to. Yeah, man, I know my kids get on me all the time. Daddy, you eat the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, but the results are what matter.
Yeah, I lost my abs years ago. Nobody found them. Greg Jennings, great talking to you, buddy. Nice work.
Appreciate it, Colin.
Yeah, I was just talking to a friend the other day. He goes, you know, I've never had deep dish pizza. And I'm like, go get lost in it for a weekend in Chicago. Yeah,
it's kind of like just sauce and cheese, which yeah. I'm not against.
Yeah, I'm a thin crust. I love Chicago as a city, but I'm a thin crust guy.
Yeah, me too.
I'll get two pieces of thin crust, fold them up, boom. Very New York. Like New York, you just go to a place, you come out in the street.
Yeah, I'm more of a New York pizza.
You fold it up and boom, knock it out of the park. New York pizza's great.
Yeah, I love Chicago though.
Oh, by the way, do you own or rent a home? You know, you can bundle your insurance now. It's with GEICO. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's very easy. GEICO.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Bruce Arians-Tom Brady dynamic in Tampa has been a little bit of a talking point since Tom got there, and it seemed like a little bit of a calling out, and then, you know, some shots exchanged, maybe, who knows, but Arian says he is enjoying working with one of the best to ever play the game.
I mean, it's been fantastic from day one, getting him here, watching him prepare and help young players get better. He's a joy to coach, and he's a fantastic competitor, and I love that about him. And you know, he's been there and done it, and he's helped so many of our guys who haven't believe that they can, and that's a huge part of it. And couldn't ask any more out of him.
Well, that was nice.
That was certainly a nice thing to say about. Boy, between Favre talking about Rodgers and Brucey, it's a competition Wednesday and be a good guy Thursday.
Maybe it's like the holidays. Everyone's trying to be a little nicer.
That would be. I'd like to see a lot more nice.
People should be nicer.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you never know somebody else's travels. Be nice to people. You just don't know what their life's like.
You should be nice to people. Yeah. Well, the Bucks' remaining schedules: the Vikings at the Falcons at the Lions. And then the Falcons again.
I actually, the Tampa Bay, Minnesota is one of my Blazing Five picks.
And did we get a little preview?
No. By the way, I didn't give my theory on New England.
You told me in the break.
And what did you think of it?
It's not terrible.
It's kind of fascinating.
It is.
All right.
It is. There's some meat there.
Okay.
So the Cowboys will once again have to decide what to do with Dak Prescott this offseason. The organization has said they want Dak in their future. But their division rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, have a little situation on their hands with Carson Wentz. So has that possibly swayed the Dallas Cowboys?
Getting scared of that big contract.
Seeing what's happening with Philly. Stephen Jones is denying that the Eagles situation will influence their decision and is doubling down on Dak as their quarterback.
When something's not working out and you have big numbers on a contract that you're committed to, it can certainly affect your football team for a couple of years. But, you know, that's the business we're in. That's why you want to be right when you sign a player. We're not nervous to sign Dak. I think his makeup is all the right things. He's an amazing man off the field. He's a great leader in our locker room. He's a great player, and that's why we've wanted to sign him long term.
Dak and Carson are obviously going to be compared throughout their career.
Well, there's some similarities, but Dak had been incredibly healthy. There's a difference. Michael Jordan once broke his toe or foot. Dak is healthy. He had one injury. Carson Wentz is reckless and more unhealthy.
So Dak is definitely very, he's always available.
Yeah, John Stockton had a year he broke his leg, but John Stockton was there every night.
There's a 100% chance you're going to get injured in the NFL. We know that. That's just
Brady
going
missed a
to
year.
Yes.
Dak's going to miss a year. But I never think of Dak as a physical liability.
No,
ever.
And I do think that Dak will end up with the Cowboys next year. I just think that the Cowboys messed this up. They messed up their opportunity to sign him early, which is what they should have done. They signed Zeke Elliott instead. And remember, you know, Zeke held their feet to the fire. Remember, he was in Cabo, and there was like a whole situation with his contract. So he worked for his contract. It's not that Zeke didn't deserve to get paid, but this is a contract they should have had done first. This is a position, obviously, that you needed to lock up.
Yeah.
And now they're in a situation where they have to make it work. Now, Dak may be more open to a more team-friendly situation coming off of this injury because he bet on himself this year, but I don't think the situations are similar. Now, I don't know how the rest of this the circumstances in Philadelphia are going to play out because, I mean, we're all going to be watching this weekend to see how Jalen Hurts does. And if he does play well.
Goulet, do the Cowboys just have your regular seven picks? What do the Cowboys have for draft pick? What the Dallas Cowboys, here's the best case scenario for Dallas. They got like the fifth pick right now. They trade down seven or eight or nine spots. And somebody really has something they want, and they can get another second-round pick, say. And Dallas hits it out of the park with an interior defensive lineman in the first round, a cornerback in the second round, and like an edge rusher in the third round. Their first three picks are defense. Then all of a sudden next year, it's like we have three really good starting defensive players. Then your issue is
Offensive line.
So, I mean, I don't think Dallas has a quick fix. I do think if they trade down and can get, they need a corner. Their linebackers, when healthy, are fine. DeMarcus Ware said it yesterday. Dallas is not an overnight rebuild. They got too many contracts that are problematic. So, to me, what they need to do is trade down, and they have to get multiple picks and get cheaper on defense because Dak's going to make $34 million a year, and you're just in the cap's coming down.
And that's their fault.
Yeah, totally their fault.
And Dak deserves that money. I just their offensive line is an issue, and I do not see them taking a quarterback at that spot.
Yeah,
I would be
not.
Very surprised. Yep. Finally, the Bears passed on Deshaun Watson in 2017 draft in favor of Mitchell Trubisky. Watson will face Chicago for the first time in his career on Sunday, but he's not using that to fuel him. He said he gets no motivation from playing a team that passed on him, and he has nothing against the Bears organization. Obviously, I think the Bears would like that pick back, but you know, looking at their career so far, if you compare the two, obviously Deshaun has been with an organization that's been a little dysfunctional in Houston. So the win-loss record is really kind of, you throw that out the window. But the obvious numbers that stick out are the touchdown interception ratio.
Well, one is a spectacular playmaker, and the other is a guy that struggles throwing the football. Like the gap here, you know, this just shows you sometimes winning and losing is does not define it. I mean, they almost have the same
talent.
Yeah, I mean, and even the completion percentage is close. But the real difference here is one guy's a touchdown maker and one guy's a liability. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I tell you, my theory on the Patriots, Goulet, set up some goofy Twitter poll. No, that wouldn't do it. I'm trying to figure out a way to get, I don't take phone calls anymore.
Put the tweet out.
Explain.
And then read the responses.
Yeah, that's how I'll do it. Well, it was so much easier for you than me. All right, Soup and Sweater. We play this game once in a while. Soup and Sweater rankings on the NFL. I think it's actually a very, very, very good NFL weekend that starts tonight with a lot of really important and fascinating games.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Keep everybody on your gift list cozy with Tommy John pajamas, underwear, loungewear, $20 off site-wide, tommyjohn.com/herd. Go to their site for details. So it is a second or third or fourth best. It's a top five NFL weekend starting tonight in terms of quality of games. And there's a handful that games, obviously, what the NFL does generally is you get later in the year, you've got more, you know, divisional rivals, and you also have, you know, elimination games. So it's a very, very good weekend. So Joy and I are going to play 0-5. 0 bowls of soup means it's unwatchable. 5 bowls of soup means you're sitting down for 4 hours watching every play of the game. It's our Soup and Sweater game. Here we go.
How many soups for Patriots-Rams tonight on Fox?
So it could easily be a low soup game because the Rams give up the fewest big plays and the Patriots have nobody who could create a big play, meaning it's going to be a lot of 4-yard game, right? I'm going to say 3 bowls of soup. So because I think Belichick and McVay, that's captivating. I think it is a must win for the Rams in their division. But if the Patriots win, it's a fascinating turn of events. You know, who does Kansas City not want to face in the playoffs? Like Belichick. Like, they'd be the lowest seed to get in. So the Rams, Rams are 33-0 when they lead at halftime. So if they're up big at halftime, it's over. So that's why you can't give it more than that. But I do think there's intrigue here to watch.
How many soups for Chiefs at Dolphins?
So this is a contrast of styles. This is a big play, riskier offense in Kansas City against Tua and the Dolphins. He's yet to throw an interception. So I'll give it 4 bowls of soup because it's a contrast of styles. One of the smartest offensive guys in league history, Andy Reid, and one of the fledgling defensive head coaching stars in Brian Flores. Again, safe, no turnover offense is why you can't give it 5 bowls. But I think this game has a chance to be close. And, you know, Kansas City's got stuff wrapped up. You know, what if they go down to Miami, get a little loosey-goosey, potential upset here?
Dolphins have a lot of takeaways, too. How many soups for Cardinals at Giants?
This is a shocking number. I'm going to give this 4 bowls of soup. I'm fascinated. Giants are an underdog. So Vegas is telling you Arizona matches up well. Why? Because Arizona's got a very mobile quarterback. And as Greg Jennings just said, they're going to turn Kyler Murray loose this week. The second thing is the Giants are on a 4-game losing streak, but the Cardinals have allowed 30-plus points in games. So Giants are going to score. You're going to get to see Daniel Jones and some points. My guess is this game's got a little shootout written all over it. Remember, the Giants give quarterbacks who can't move trouble. They gave Jared Goff a lot of trouble. I think you're going to see more scoring than people think. I think if the Giants win this game, we wake up on Monday morning and we see the Giants off a Seahawks win as a completely different opponent in the playoffs, as a legitimate nightmare to face for a Green Bay, for a New Orleans, for a Rams.
It's going to be bad for the Cardinals, too. How many soups are you giving Vikings at Bucks?
I think this is a four bowl of soup game. It's strength on strength. Dalvin Cook against the best run defense in the NFL. I think there's massive urgency for Tom Brady. If Tampa comes out and is sluggish, off kilter, we got a problem, because this is where the greats in these bye weeks, generally Brady off byes, he's had 18, is 14-4. He has been a great player off a bye. Dalvin Cook has to run. This also has potential shootout. This could end up being the best game of the weekend. We've seen Minnesota. Minnesota go over the top on you. Kirk Cousins not the problem right now. His passer rating, top three in the league over the last 6 weeks. So this has a chance to be a 36-30 game.
How many soups for Jets at Seahawks?
It's a one bowl of soup game. First of all, two struggling offenses. You have an offensive line that's struggling with the Jets, and a pass rush for Seattle, which is suddenly forceful with Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap. Russ has only has four TD passes in four games. So what it is, two bad offensive lines and two offenses struggling. The only reason to watch this is if you're a Seahawks fan and a Russell fan. But this is going to be, regardless of what happens, this is going to be ugly offensive line play and quarterbacks running for their life.
How many soups for Saints at Eagles?
Similarly, I'll give this two simply because the Jalen Hurts factor. I just want to see what he looks like. I want to see what he, you know, I mean, anytime one of the first or second round quarterback makes a debut, I do think Greg Cosell talked about it earlier. If you look at what Jalen Hurts does well, I think there's going to be a little Kyler Murray. They're going to move him out, roll the pocket. They're going to experiment. And by the way, what if Philadelphia wins? Don't be crazy here. We just had Colt McCoy beat the Seahawks. We've seen the Raiders go to Arrowhead and beat Kansas City. This is going to be the talk of the weekend. Our lead story Monday is Jalen Hurts beats the Saints. We're going to be like, uh-oh. So that could be Doug Peterson issue, Wentz issue. So I'll get that two bowls of soup.
How about Steelers at Bills?
Best game of the weekend, five bowls of soup. Pittsburgh hates me. I think Buffalo has a chance to blow them out. I think Pittsburgh now can't run. So you're going to get Big Ben against the kid that plays like Big Ben 12 years ago. So Pittsburgh throws it 45 to 50 times. They can't run. Josh Allen is Big Ben. Big, strong, mobile. And I also think the defenses aren't as good. I mean, too many injuries for Pittsburgh's defense. So Buffalo's going to put points up. Pittsburgh knows that and is going to have to be aggressive and throw the ball downfield themselves. So I think you're going to have a shootout, wildly entertaining game.
Ravens at Browns. How many soups?
Four bowls of soup. So Cleveland played its best game in a decade. What did we say about 4 days ago? Can you do it again? Okay, so like this isn't college football. After you play the Titans, you don't get Panera Bread State. You get a tougher team the following week. The NFL is not about winning. It's how you handle winning. Everybody handles losing the same. They get focused and play hard. So biggest win for Cleveland in 10 years. Oh, wait, we play a better team now. So this is one of my Blazing Five picks as well. And Lamar Jackson against Baker Mayfield, same draft class. Very interesting.
This is a very big game.
New streaming service. It's called Discovery Plus. It'll be available next year. A lot of your favorite brands like the Food Network and HGTV. And they have some exclusive originals as well. So that is Discovery Plus. How about Jim Harbaugh? Albert Breer, Jim Harbaugh, he said Jim Harbaugh earlier today, Jets and Jim Harbaugh Bears. That second one's really interesting.
You like him to the Bears?
I don't know if I like him. I like Matt Nagy. I just think Harbaugh feels like a Bears head coach. He's kind of khaki, tough, outspoken. There's a little Ditka there.
I'm just interested in who the Jets are going to bring in.
I would go get Lincoln Riley. I'd say, listen, Big 12 or the NFL, here's $10 million. I would go get Lincoln Riley. Urban doesn't want to do it. I think I'd get Lincoln Riley, or I'd get Brian Kelly. I'd give him an offensive coach, and here we go. And that's what I would do. What do I know? Albert Breer, Greg Cosell, Urban Meyer, and Greg Jennings all stop by today. This is one of the fastest shows. Usually means it's a good show. So we'll for Joey and John, we'll see you tomorrow. Be safe during this holiday season. It's the Herd.